Amen, amen. Good morning. Good to see you today on this cold, chilly morning this morning. It's a state of mind, right? But no, good morning. Glad you're here. If you're new this morning, and we haven't met, my name's Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here. We started a brand new series last week called Generations, and we're spending the next 5 or 6 weeks looking at different generations within one family, looking at their dysfunction, looking at the good, the bad, the in-between, and how they trusted God, how they needed to come back to God, and all that goes with that. And today, we're looking at Isaac and Rebecca. Let's say that together. Isaac and Rebecca will be parked in Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to be just kind of parked there the whole message today. So if you have your Bible and you want to go there, or you can go on the Bible app as well, you can do that. But today we're going to look at, last week we talked about the fact that Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old when they had Isaac. And in this story, this was kind of remarkable that they were that old, but nothing is impossible for God, amen? And so they have Isaac, and in this story, Abraham's getting older, and he's realizing that Isaac isn't married, and he starts to get concerned, and he tasks his servant, his oldest servant, with finding him a spouse. And it got me thinking about being a matchmaker. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, you'll run into somebody when you're talking about, like, you know, how people got together. And maybe there's some people in here or somebody online that you actually are responsible for a couple getting together. I don't know if there's anybody like that. I actually did that one time, true story. My wife and I don't think we were married. We were dating in college, and I had a friend named Denny, and she had a friend named Sandra. And one day, Whitney and I were out just doing our normal thing, and I said, hey, I think that Denny and Sandra would be a great match. And she goes, I don't see that at all. She goes, I don't think my friend would want to go out with your friend. I said, I think they would. She goes, I don't know. So I worked on it for a couple weeks, and finally she's like, yeah. She said, okay, let's do this. So we set them up, and of course Denny's asking every question under the sun about her, and I'm like, just meet her, okay, and we'll see what happens. So we went to this place called Perkins in Olathe, and we had, I think, pie and coffee and stuff, and we were sitting in there, and long story short, they hit it off, they got married, they had 6 kids, and there you go. So every once in a while, I look at my wife, and I'm like, right? So I don't know if I could ever do that again. I think about that because basically Abraham is asking his servant to be a matchmaker. He's saying, look, I want you to go and find Isaac a wife. And that's not a really small task. So we're going to just walk through this story because I think it's hard to understand context if we don't just tell the story. So rather than reading 67 or 70 verses, however many there are, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase the story. As I mentioned, he asked his oldest servant to find him a wife. However, he didn't want Isaac to travel with his servant. And then the other thing was, like, there's these conditions, right? The other thing was is that his wife couldn't be a Canaanite. And so he asked him to travel back to Abraham's homeland to find him a spouse. So the servant, he makes his way back to Abraham's homeland as his master requested. And once he gets there, he sees that there's women coming out in the evening time to get water. And so he prays, he pulls up, Abraham's servant pulls up, and he stops and he prays that God would show him who the right woman is by a couple of things. The first is that she would be open to getting him water, and the second, which is a little bit more complicated, that she would be willing to water his camels. That was kind of his fleece, his will of way of saying, God, if you know, whoever this is, these things will take place. Now, while he's praying this, Scripture says while he's praying, in fact, the version we're going to read later says before he was finished, Rebecca comes out, which ended up being Isaac's wife. She comes out, and that is exactly what she did. She got him water and offered water to his camels. And Abraham's servant's like, so far, so good. So then, but there's another deal, right? It has to be a part of Abraham's relative. And so the servant asked whose daughter she was, and she told him the line there. And he realized that she was a relative, as Abraham requested. And he bows down and he worships the Lord because he recognizes that God is putting this together. Forget eHarmony. God is much better. All right? So later, Rebekah's brother Laban offers Abraham's servant food and lodging after he sees the gifts that the servant had given Rebekah. And so he spends the night there. And Abraham's servant explains everything to Rebecca's dad and Rebecca's brother. So he says, look, Abraham told me to come, gives this big long speech about that. And then as they're listening to this, the Holy Spirit is working. Like, have you ever had something, all of us probably have before, where you pray about something because you don't know how it's going to go, and so you pray and you're like, God, would you prepare hearts, right? That's kind of what's happening here, because as Abraham's servant is explaining this, the Holy Spirit, God, is working on Rebecca's brother and dad, and they recognize that this is of God. And they say to him, hey, we're not going to try to stop you from taking Rebecca. Open door, open door, open door, right? He prays. Rebecca comes out. She offers him water. She offers to water his camels. They're asking him to spend the night. And now he tells a story to her dad and her brother, right? Her protective brother. And they're recognizing this is from God. But then as the story unwinds, it's kind of a weird turn in the story. Later, they decide to try to keep Rebecca 10 days before she can leave, because the servant's getting ready to leave with Rebecca, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know, let's wait 10 more days. And Abraham's servant says, don't keep me from going back to my master. They say, okay, well then let's let Rebecca decide. Let's let her decide. And she says that she's willing to go back with him, which she demonstrates faith, because she's going to be going with a total stranger. She doesn't know this guy. She doesn't know who he is. But she senses the Lord is in this, and she says, I will go back. And then once they get back, they're out, they're coming back, and they see this Isaac in the field, and Dreamweaver comes on, the song. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, she's like, well, who's that? It's like, it's Isaac. She's like, okay. And so Isaac dismounts off his animal, and the servant and Isaac, he explains the whole thing. I went to your dad's homeland, and all these women are coming out, and I'm like, God, pick one. Who is it? May she water my camels and water and give me water. And then she's from the same family that Abraham said she had to be a part of. It was awesome. They gave me food, right? Filet goat. I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden now that, you know, it tells him this whole story. And he's just like, okay, this is of God. So he takes Rebecca, and they go into Isaac's mother's tent, and they get married. And after they get married, this verse, this is the last of me telling you the story. Let's read that, Genesis 24 there at the bottom. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So I just gave you that in fast forward to kind of understand the story. But there's some observations today that we can look at from Scripture that could be applicable to us today. And the first thing that we notice is that Abraham tells his servant that God would go ahead of him. Now, I may have left that part out, but in the story, when Abraham tells his servant, hey, go and find Isaac a wife, he's like, listen, what if I do find her? But she won't go back with me. And here's what he says. He starts mentioning the past to comfort him with what's getting ready to take place. He says, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household. Abraham's telling this to his servant. Who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. In fact, let's read that last sentence together. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. We can gather from that is that God not only goes with us, but the Bible speaks about him going before us. Amen? And so listen to this, Deuteronomy. This is where Moses or Joshua is getting ready to succeed Moses. It says, the Lord himself goes before you, and I will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I don't know how many years ago, probably 4 years ago, my wife had this whim that we needed to go down and see the lights at Branson, Silver Dollar City. Now, just be honest, how many of you really like Silver Dollar City? You're my people. Nobody's raising their hands, all right? Yeah, but my whole family loves it, and I don't like roller coasters, I don't like rides, and it's just not my thing, but I always go because my family wants to go. And so she's like, I think we should go see the lights. I'm like, I don't really want to. So we went. So we were in the car, and we were out over by Carthage. I think it's 96 intersection there and the little side road there. And a few times in my life, things will slow down. And for some reason, my wife was driving, which that's not normal, but for some reason, that day she was. And I could see it happening. This guy was texting on his phone and wasn't paying attention. He was going like 65, 70 miles an hour on the road adjacent to where we were. And because this is all kind of me surmising what happened. When he looked up, it was too late to try to stop. And so he turns around the car and turns onto our road, and he's still going way too fast. He's got a 250 truck, and then he's got a trailer that could hold a big bulldozer, but there's no bulldozer on it. It's just a big trailer. And I could see it happening, and Whitney's not seeing it. And I go, Whitney, and she stops on the brake. And I could see, like, some of you can have experienced this where things slow down, and you're like, it's going to hit us. Like, all these things came to mind. It's going to hit us. This is going to hurt. And my kids are in the car. And I just said this quick prayer, and he did. He didn't hit us with his truck. He hit us real hard with his trailer. Tore off the front end of our car, and then he hits full on into the tree. And this lady, first thing airbags deploy, and I remember saying a quick prayer before I get emotional thinking about it, like God help. And the car stops, and I just kind of look around. Of course, you know, what do you, first thing you say, is everybody okay? And everybody seemed to be okay. We get out. This lady comes running out of the house, you know, are you okay? And we're like, yeah. She goes, I want to tell you something. She's like, I want you to know something. I don't know if you're a religious person. I was like, I didn't even tell her. I didn't tell her. I said, yeah, we are. She said, I saw an angel go before you. She said, there's a car coming to hit you, and I saw this bright light. And you know, sometimes when people say things to you, you just don't know, but I believed her. She said, I saw an angel pushing that truck in your car. And I was like, wow, you know. I think about that story because God does go before us sometimes and prepares the way. And I just want that to be a comfort to some of us today, that there might be a situation in your life that you just need to trust him, that he wants to be with you, right, and go before you. In fact, we see this in Deuteronomy, the Lord goes before you, and he will be with you. Let's read it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Another thing we notice is that Abraham's servant prayed for success in finding a mate for Isaac. It's unbelievable sometimes in our life how instead of talking to God about something, we get on the phone and talk to others about that same thing, right? Our former children's pastor years ago, her name was Crystal, and one day she was in here and she said basically that, now my brain blanked. What did she say? She said, I can't remember. It was good in my brain, yeah. That's weird. It just blank like that. But Abraham's servant, he prayed for success in finding a mate for Isaac. It's amazing sometimes. Oh, I know what she said. Here it comes. She said, we spend too much time going to the phone instead of the throne. That's good. That was worth me trying to find that thought. Right? Think about that. We spend so much time worrying to others about things, and we've all done it, every one of us. We're guilty of it, instead of just going to the throne of God. Listen to this. Now, the context of this, right, is he's sitting outside where all these women are going to come out. This is the homeland of where Abraham's from. He doesn't know anyone. He doesn't have a clue. You know, there's no profile online to see what kind of person this is or anything. He's just saying, God, I don't know, but I'm here. Would you give me favor? He starts with prayer. It says, then he prayed. Read those yellow words. Then he prayed. He prayed before he started looking. Is there an area in your life that you're trying to push through without prayer? God's plan for us is not to be filled with anxiety and stress and worry. I say that but at times I struggle with that myself. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't. But the Bible talks about this place of presenting our requests to God, right? Some of us know that scripture, and it's not our favorite one. don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an essential lifeline to God, and we can't underestimate the power of prayer. You know, sometimes you hear things like prayer works, and we can misinterpret that. Here's the reality, is sometimes we pray for things and they don't happen the way that we want them to happen. That doesn't mean that God's not all powerful, and it certainly doesn't mean that we don't have intimacy with God. But the reality is that when we pray and it doesn't work out exactly like we think, and if you're a follower of Jesus and you've been talking with God a long time, there's times where you've asked for something and maybe it didn't happen. And we can't say, well, God's not hearing me or God's not answering my prayer just because he doesn't answer us in the timing that we want or the way that we want. It's in those moments that we have to have faith. Amen? But make no mistake about it, prayer is an essential lifeline to God. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm not trying to create tension, but I would just simply ask this. I went to the doctor the other day, and they say, how's your diet? How's your health? How's your this? How's your that? They're doing a checkup. So a checkup for us this morning. Besides praying for dinner and your own kids or spouse, when's the last time you talked with God for more than 5 minutes? I'm not saying you do or don't. I'm just asking the question. Where there wasn't something else pulling at you, where you set aside that intentional time to talk with God. If you would say, this morning, great. If you would say, I can't remember when, here's what I would say. You can start today. You can start spending that time talking with him. Some of you'd say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, when I asked my wife out, there was a few awkward silences when we first started dating because we didn't know each other that way. So I was like, hey, how's it going? Cool. It's nice weather we're having here. Like, you just kind of start, don't you? You just kind of go down the road, and if you don't know how to talk to God, just start talking to God. Listen to this quote. To be a Christian, it's by Martin Luther, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible, let's read it, than to be alive without breathing. Talking with God is such an essential part of our relationship with Jesus. Another thing that I think is interesting in this story is that Rebecca's family is kind and generous. You know, something in our culture today that's missing is kindness. Amen? Rebecca and her family were kind and generous to Abraham's family. Listen to this. We see it, and there's a couple places here. In Genesis chapter 24, we see Rebecca willing to give him water and also to give his camels water. If it was such a commonplace thing for a woman to offer to water the camels, then that's probably not a sign that he would have came up with, right? But it was probably a rarity. Rebecca gives water. She's generous to him. She's kind to him. And then we see when Rebecca runs and tells Laban, hey, this guy, Laban offers to shelter the servant, says, hey, stay with us and feed him. Kindness is such a huge thing. And I just want to say this for a minute as we see this hospitality given to Abraham's servant. The reason that kindness and generosity are so important for the followers of Jesus is because it makes up the nature and character of God. You know, sometimes we ask and kids will ask why, and sometimes we'll say things like, don't ask why because I said so. But the reality is sometimes it's important to know why, right? Why is kindness, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, and honestly, some of us, I know people who aren't Christians who are just kind by nature, right? But then there's others of us that if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in us, kindness kind of isn't something we're great at. So for those that say, well, why is that such a big deal? I remember when I was a kid, I struggled with lying, asking my dad one time, like, what's the big deal? Because God doesn't lie. We're trying to follow him and he doesn't lie. His nature isn't lying. We're supposed to be like him. I'm like, oh. The reason that kindness and generosity because they're a big deal is because that's who God is. That's his nature. That's his character, to be kind. So here's my question. If you struggle with kindness and being generous, in fact, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, remember? You hear me say a lot, love and joy, peace, patience. kindness. It's not something, well, my spiritual gifts test says I'm not kind. Okay? No, kindness is something that God is. It's not something that we have to have coming to the table. When we connect ourselves to God, we get what he has access to. So husbands, if you're following Jesus, you're going to be kind to your spouse. Wives, if you're following Jesus, then the fruit of the Spirit is inside of you that gives you kindness, and you're going to be kind. Kids, parents, a part of following Jesus is allowing his Spirit. Well, I'm not feeling it. Well, it's not about you feeling, it's about surrendering, right? Kindness. We see that. Another thing we notice in this scripture is that Laban and Bethuel, which was Rebekah's dad, and Rebekah, they all see God's hand in the situation. And Rebekah had enough faith to go with a total stranger. Really what this is talking about is they're able to identify fingerprints. Some of you have been around for a while, you've heard me tell this story, but when my kids were little, we had these big bay windows in the front living room, and they would stick their fingers all over it. And my wife and I looked at it differently. She looked at it as the way you should look at it, which is they're here. They're present. They're with us. I looked at it as it's making our windows look bad. And I remember telling her, I'm like, they're just putting their fingers all over there. And she said, it means they're here. Their fingerprints are all over our house. I share that story because with Laban, with Bethuel, and with Rebekah, they all recognize God's fingerprints. He's the one that orchestrated this. Man, what would happen in our lives if we would start to identify the fingerprints of God? Listen to this. Laban and Bethuel tell the servant that this is from the Lord. What dad's just going to say, you're a total stranger, take my kid? What brother who's protective at all is going to say, yeah, there you go, she's right here? But the reason they were able to do that is because the Spirit had confirmed in them and they had recognized, they were in tune, that God is in this story. In fact, right here, down here, it says, you read it in Scripture, it says, there's nothing we can say. God's in this. Take her and go. And then we see Rebekah, right? After they said, let's keep her for 10 days. They said, well, let's let Rebekah decide. And all of a sudden, they go to Rebekah and say, do you want to go with this man? And she says those yellow words. Let's read it. I will go. Do you recognize God's fingerprints? Do I? Something to think about. Another thing that we notice is that a couple of different times in Scripture, which we didn't cover, but Abraham's servant praised God each time he recognized God's fingerprints at work. He's recognizing God's provision. In Genesis chapter 24, when he asks her, he says, hey, whose family are you from? And she tells him, and he recognizes that this is from Abraham's line. It says, Scripture says, he got down on his knees, he bowed down, and he worshiped God. Because he recognized this didn't just happen by accident, God was in this. And then we see in Genesis chapter 24, verse 52, we see that Abraham's servant bows down in worship to the fact that Rebekah's dad and brother's response to the servant's story, right? Well, I just mentioned that a minute ago. He tells them the story. They say, this is from God. And he gets down on his knees. And he's like, God, I just want to worship you. This is from you. How in the world could this ever happen? You've made this to happen. Each time he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Let's read that little asterisk again. Each time he bowed down. Is it annoying to you when someone takes credit for something somebody else does? Have you ever done that? Like, in a business or something, or you're a part of a group and you give an idea and whoever's in charge, they take credit for it. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like, come on, right? When we acknowledge what God is doing in our lives, that he's the one that put things together, in fact, that really needs to be a daily routine that we all do. It keeps us focused on the right thing, and it also keeps us worshiping God in the way that he calls us to. Are there some areas in your life right now where we're missing that God is providing for you in some way? Are there, maybe they're not huge things, but maybe they are, but maybe they're just in little ways that God is providing for you or protecting you or with you. Man, what would it look like to just acknowledge that to God? and say, Lord, I want to thank you for my grandkids. God, I want to thank you for my spouse, or I want to thank you for air in my lungs. Or you know what, Lord, there's some things in my life I still have questions to, but I just want to praise you and worship you because I've seen your hand all along. In fact, when we think of the Ten Commandments, right, the first thing is to worship God. We see in the New Testament when they're trying to trick Jesus, and they say, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Which leads us to our question this morning before our band comes. Are you looking for and recognizing God's fingerprints in your life? Read that with me. Are you looking for and recognizing God's fingerprints in your life? In fact, just real quick, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second, and I would just simply ask you this morning, is there an area in your life that maybe God, the Holy Spirit, even right now in this moment where we're talking about this, that God is pointing something out to you that maybe we haven't given God the credit for in the way that we should? And maybe some of us would take this opportunity right now to say, God, in the same way that Abraham's servant was faithful and recognized when God was moving, Lord, help me to recognize when your hand is at work. Help me to worship you, God. In fact, maybe right now in this moment, God has brought something to your mind. And during this moment, you say to God, God, I just want to tell you right now, this situation is you. You've orchestrated this. I trust you. And then maybe for some of us today, you're in the middle of something heavy. You're in the middle of a difficult time. And maybe the answers that you're hoping and praying for haven't maybe materialized yet. But what if in that moment of uncertainty, you were to simply say, God, I recognize that you are with me now in this uncertainty. And I choose to worship you while we wait.